You're listening to sermons from Liberty Baptist Church in Newport Beach, California. For more information about Liberty or to donate to this ministry, you can visit us at libertybaptistchurch.org. We pray that the Lord will use this message to be a help and encouragement in your life.
You want to take your Bibles to Luke chapter number 18. Luke chapter number 18. And they got me up before 5:30. And that's a good thing, because we'll be out of here by 6 o'clock, Lord willing. But I'm excited to bring God's word this evening to you. Thank you for being here. And those of you that were here in the morning service heard the news that my wife is expecting. And we are excited and thrilled. And just in case you were wondering, yes, I do have cravings already. And I've been craving ice cream quite often. And my wife was laughing at me because just the other night I was eating a whole thing of Ben and Jerry's in bed by myself. And she was like, "This should be me, not you." And but I'm trying to gain some sympathy weight. And so but we're excited and we're thrilled. And if we have a boy, I really want to name him. Appreciate that. I really want to name have a Ryan Jr., but she's not really feeling it. And so how many of you think that's a good idea? Anyone think that's a good idea? That's like over 50%, we'll say. There we go. If we're counting like Donald Trump, say that's over 50%. 10,000 people. All right. Take your Bibles to Luke chapter number 18. Like I said, I'm excited to bring God's word this evening, and this is something that God gave to me. And we're going to be looking at a parable tonight. And unlike Sammy, I did ask the pastor's permission to preach a parable, to preach this parable. And I want to make sure this wasn't one of the ones he had on his list. And so I'm going to be going from Luke chapter number 18 and verse number 9 here. And this is something that God gave me that I think will be a huge help to us as individuals and also us collectively as a church body. And so I pray that as God's word is spoken, God's word is delivered tonight, that we can help to every single one of us this evening. Luke chapter number 18 and verse number 9. The Bible says, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed, addressing himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as these other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give thee tithes of all that I possess.' And the publican, standing far off, would not lift up so much as his eyes in heaven, but smote unto his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful unto me. Be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Let's pray. Father, I pray that as we spend some time in your word over these next 20, 25 minutes, that God, that you would speak to every single one of our lives. I pray that as I communicate these truths that you've given me clearly from your word, I pray that they be your words and not my own. And God, that you would use this service in the lives of every single person here. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Growing up, living in Huntington Beach, I was living a life in Huntington Beach. And I was an HB kid. I wasn't really into surfing. I wasn't coordinated enough. But growing up in Huntington Beach, there is a style that you need to fit to. And I wanted to be a cool kid growing up in Huntington Beach. And so, you know, you needed to fit this style. And growing up in this area, there was a certain style you had to adapt to if you wanted to be cool. And obviously that meant wearing the nice name brand clothing. Making sure that you wear the name brand clothing. All your parents of teenagers and kids know exactly what I'm talking about. Making sure that you have the nice name brands. I don't want to be wearing Walmart brand or value shoes when I'm 16 years old. I want to be having the nice name brand clothes. And growing up, many of you know my family story. I was raised by a single mom with two brothers, and we didn't necessarily have the budget to support kids with name brand clothes. And so my mom got very creative when we were kids. And she would do anything that she could to help me fit this label of cool. And she would do anything she could. And she got creative, like I said, and we would go to secondhand stores. And I remember there was a store next to our house called Savers. And Savers was the store. My mom used to take me over there, and we would cycle through the thousands of articles of clothing there that people dropped off and Savers didn't wash, and had the stench on them still. But they were name brand there, and my mom would get me some clothes from there so that I could have the name brand clothes that I wanted. I don't really know why, but for some reason I was so obsessed with this. Even at a young age, for some reason, at 10 years old, 11 years old, I wanted to dress nice. I wanted to have those name brand clothes. And I don't know why that happened, but as a 10-year-old boy, that was me. My mom did all she could to help me with that. From, like I said, from going to secondhand stores to every once in a while stealing an item off the shelf. She would do anything she could. And one thing that my mom did that now makes me laugh really, really hard is I remember when I first I went to this basketball camp when I was, I don't remember if it was in summer or if it was this basketball camp that I played in during the year. And I wanted a pair of Jordan basketball shoes. And you can put the logo up there. Chris, I want a pair of Jordan basketball shoes. And that's the logo. Mr. Air Jordan there, Mr. Michael Jordan. And I wanted a pair of Jordans so bad. That's what I wanted to wear. And all my friends had the nice shoes. And so I remember going to my mom and I said, Mom, I want a pair of Jordans. My mom said, okay. And she got a little creative with me, though, being about 9, 10 years old. And she decided to give me a pair of Shaquille O'Neal shoes. You can put that logo up. Shaq shoes. And those of you that know Shaq, he is an NBA player and he's a phenomenal player and all of that. But there was a difference between their shoes there. There was a difference between the Jordans and the Shaqs. And she somehow convinced me that these were the shoes that I was looking for. And she convinced me that these were the shoes that I wanted. And the difference between those shoes was two things, price and quality. Price and quality. Both featured an NBA player, but there were extreme differences in the two different brands of shoes. You see, the average price for a pair of Jordans averaged around $180. Many of them going up way higher than that. The average price for a pair of Shaquille O'Neal shoes are around $35 and go as low as $15. And when you see those differences in prices, you can imagine the quality of the shoe and the differences between the quality of shoes. And my mom tried to convince me, you know, the whole thing, that these are the shoes I was looking for. But really, they were fake. You see, rather than the Jordans, my mom went to Payless and got me the Shaq shoes. Right, Mom? Is that where you got Payless? Yeah, they're from Payless. She got me the Shaq shoes. And at first, I really didn't know. I thought I had the shoes that everyone else had. Until I found out those weren't the Jordans that I was looking for. After about a couple months of wearing them, and I noticed, why is the logo running off and coming off of my shoe? And you can tell the difference between shoes because those Shaqs were fake. They weren't the real, authentic Jordans that I thought I was looking for, the legit shoes that I wanted. As we look at this passage tonight, Christ gives us a parable, a story of two different men. One man who looked and acted the part, and one man who simply humbled himself before God. One who acted based upon looking a part, and one who acted upon an authentic and genuine relationship with Christ. One who was real and one who was fake. And I pray that people will say of my life and people will say of our lives here, that we're authentic. We're not like those Shaq shoes, sold at Payless, that are a little cheap. They have a nice logo on them, but they're not the real authentic Jordans. And I want others to say of our lives that that person is authentic. That person's genuine. That person's real. I want that to be said of me, and I pray that you want that to be said of your life. How do we make sure that we keep it 100, as the kids would say? How do we make sure that we keep an authentic and real relationship with Christ? I want to look at two different characters here from God's Word. Two different characters, and evaluate our lives, and look at these two different characters and say, what type of character are we? What type of person are we in this story? The first person we see here is number one, the Pharisee. We see the Pharisee. The Pharisee is always comparing. Verse number 11, he says, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. I thank thee that I am not as other men are. The Pharisee is constantly comparing himself to others. Playing high school basketball, players on the team. And that summer, we wanted to train, develop, to become the best basketball players that we could become. And we had some awesome goals of winning league and taking our team to the playoffs, and winning a couple playoff games, and that happened in a few years of our team sports there. And over the summer, before our senior year, we decided we're going to work out together, we're going to push each other, challenge each other, stretch each other to become the best basketball players that we could become. And we did just that. We developed, we trained. But one unfortunate thing happened. During that senior year, as we began to play games, we started comparing our games to one another. We began to critique one another's games. We began to check the stats, see who had more points, see who had more rebounds, see who was the better player, who was the better defender. And we started comparing each other in different categories of basketball. And as you can imagine, when you're so focused on yourself, on a team sport, it hurts the growth of a team. When you're so focused on self and you're so focused on, man, you stuffing that stat sheet, you scoring this many points, gaining this many rebounds, doing this as an individual, in a team sport, it kills and stunts the growth of your team. And I'm afraid this often happens in Christian service. We get so inwardly focused on me, look what I do, look what I wear, look how I act, look at me. And we're not focusing on the church, the body. We're so worried about comparing to this other person next to me. I serve more than them. I'm involved in choir. I'm involved in this. I do all these different things. They're not even here on Wednesday nights. They come only a few Sunday nights a year, and they're not involved as I am. I'm involved in so much more than they are. And I start comparing myself to unbelievers in the church. And that's not helping the body. That's not helping growth. That's stunting. And we don't want to be like the Pharisees saying, look at me. I thank God I'm not like them. I thank God I'm not like this person. Look at me, look what I've done. Look at all I've accomplished. Look at what I've done in the church. Look where I'm serving. And look at that person. We shouldn't be comparing ourselves to other believers. So many times in Scripture, God sends us a warning to not become like the Pharisees, to not become like those that are critiquing one another, that are comparing each other. This is a warning to believers to be careful, to not constantly compare yourself to other Christians. Try not to prove your love for God by the way you look, by what you do, and how you act. We need to be doing these things out of a love for God. You see, our actions should not be displayed from a heart of wanting to look holy. Our actions should be displayed out of a heart of wanting to honor, glorify, and ultimately please the God who is worthy. Our actions should not be displayed by this wanting to look holy and look better than everyone else and wanting to dress right and act right so that we can look like we're so much better than all everyone else around us. That's not why we do what we do. Man, our actions should be displayed out of a heart of saying, Lord, I want to honor you. Lord, I want to glorify you. Lord, I thank you for what you've done in my life. Lord, I've seen you work. I've seen you do some amazing things in my life. I don't want to do these actions. I don't want to do these things. I don't want to dress this way so that I can look to everyone else and think, man, he's such a good person. I want to act this way, Lord, because I love you. Lord, because I want to honor you. Because you ultimately deserve it. You deserve this. You deserve these actions. You deserve these things that I do in my life, this area of service that I'm trying to perform. This is something that you deserve. I want to do this out of honor of God who is worthy. Does he deserve it? Doesn't he deserve it? We need to stop the constant comparisons of our good works against other believers. We're not called to be someone God has not called us to be. You're not called to do something God has not called you to do. You're called to be you. You're called to do what God has called you to do. He's called you for a purpose. Don't waste your life worrying about what everyone thinks about you. Don't waste your life worrying about comparing yourself to this person or that person. Be who God has called you this in my notes because this is something that he's said in a class or wherever. He says over and over again, he says this, he says, I have a hard enough time keeping track of myself. Right? Have you not said that multiple times? He says, I have a hard enough time keeping track of Ryan. Okay, I'm a spaz. I have a hard enough time worrying about me. I don't need to be worried about everyone else. Man, I have to control myself. Man, I battle with the flesh every day. I have struggles in my life that, man, I need to be working on. I don't need to be worried about everyone else and constantly comparing like these Pharisees. Galatians 1:10 says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be a servant of Christ. The Bible here in Galatians lays that out plain and simple here for us. Who are you seeking approval from? Who are you seeking approval from? Are you seeking approval from God or man? Colossians 3:23 says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the what? The Lord, not unto men. My reason for serving, my reason for leading, my reason for gaining knowledge, for gaining understanding, my reason for everything that I should do, that I do, should not be to compare myself to other people. My reason for what I do should be to please God and to serve God. Isn't that what the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:4? Not only do we need to stop the comparison, but we need to stop being obsessed with appearance. Let me explain what I mean by this. I'm going to confess a little sin to you this evening. And yes, I do sin. And I have had issues. And if you want to know what things I struggle with, just ask my wife. She can tell you. And but when I first became an intern here, I wanted to be the perfect intern, you know, because I wanted a job here at the church really, really bad. And I wanted to come on staff here, and I became an intern, and, you know, I was working for Brother McMains, and if you've never worked for Brother McMains, you've never worked for anyone harder in my life, I'm talking about Caleb. And I wanted to be the perfect intern because I wanted a job, right? I wanted to be hired by Pastor Tomlinson. I used to send, like, subliminal messages to him all the time, you know. And so I wanted this job, and I wanted to be the perfect intern. So I wanted to do everything right, I wanted to be at every event, and I found that messed up all the time. And but I wanted to be at everything that I could. I remember this one time we were all meeting together with the staff, and I was kind of there just listening. And Pastor Tomlinson made a statement. He's like, hey, there's a wedding here after Sunday morning church. He's like, not obligatory. Don't feel obligated to attend this wedding. If you want to come, it would be a huge blessing to that couple. It would be a huge blessing if you could make it. And man, I was like sitting there, like, I really don't want to go to this wedding, but I want to be the perfect intern, right? I don't want to go, but I want Pastor Tomlinson to become the man, and then he's going to hire me, and then it's going to be awesome, right? And so I decided, I came up with this plan, and I thought it was foolproof, and it was because it worked, but now I'm confessing my sins. I decided that I was going to go to this wedding, and what I was going to do is I was going to stand in the lobby, and I was going to wait for the bride to come out of the bride's room, and I was going to wave at her so she would see me, and then right as she walked in the auditorium, I was going to slip out the back door and grab a bite to eat. And I know this, it's probably not the best thing in the world, and I feel a little bit bad, that's why I'm confessing my sins now. I decided that I was going to make an appearance. I was going to see her, give her a smile and a thumbs up, tell her congratulations, and then I was going to peace out that back door with Chipotle. And that's what I was going to do. And so that's exactly what happened. I made my appearance, it wasn't really genuine, and then I left. I did it. I simply did it to please Pastor Tomlinson. I didn't do it out of a heart of wanting to be a blessing for that couple. I did it out of a heart of trying to please the man that I was trying to get a job from. I'm afraid we all get in the habit of this from time to time, don't we? We become the type of person that is obsessed with everyone else seeing me serving, seeing me make an appearance, seeing me be at church, seeing me simply do the things that I want everyone to see me do. Verse number 11 through 12, that's why the Pharisees went to the temple. God gives it to us here. He went not to get right with God. He didn't go there to get right with God. He went there to make an appearance. He went there so everyone would see him. He went there so everyone would see him there at the temple and think, man, that's a good guy. Did you see him at church? Man, he's there every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. someone to be there and make a simple appearance. And if I'm being honest, I think we've all done that at times, if I'm being honest. And even myself, I confess too at that wedding, but there have been times in my life where, and maybe I've done something just so someone would notice me do it. I'll do something just so I make an appearance so it looks like I got everything together. I shouldn't do these things out of a heart of, look at me, watch me, did you see me do that? And I should serve and act based upon a heart of, Lord, I love you. What you've done for me is amazing. You saved a messed up, punk kid like me. You've done some amazing things in my life. Lord, and I want to act based upon a heart of love towards you. Not only do we see the Pharisee, but second, we see the publican. You see, there was something different about this man. He wasn't like the Pharisee. He never once explained to Jesus what he had done. He never once tried to lift himself up. He never once tried to put someone else near him down. He simply arrived and did two things. Number one, he had a heart of sincerity. God has called us as Christians to be real and authentic. Countless times in the Bible, he calls out ridiculous Pharisees for their hearts behind their actions. He calls out the Pharisees because the reasons behind their actions do not come from a heart of sincerity. And as Christians, we need to make sure that we have the right motives with our actions. Serving and doing with a sincere heart, with a sincere love for our Savior. Not seeking to earn or gain favor because of how spiritual we want to seem, but out of the love and admiration for our Lord. The motives behind our actions are so important to God. In a Christian school here, the kids can gain this thing called life school points. And those are the kids that are in the school and know what I'm talking about. And at the beginning of the year, it's this thing where life school points are, you can receive, it's this online thing that registers all of your demerits. And then if you get points, those are merits, and you can, you know, buy Starbucks or whatever, and there's a bunch of other things they can buy with the life school points. And so at the beginning of the year, you know, at the school, it's nice being a youth pastor here because during lunchtime I have free labor over at school. And so if I need something done, I'll just go call all the kids in the high school and they have free labor down there. And so it's pretty awesome. So if I would ever have them, you know, move something, pick up trash, whatever it was, at almost every time I would have them do something, they would always say, right before they left, Brother Ryan, life school points? Every time they would do something for me, hey guys, can you go sweep the gym for me and clean the gym for me? Oh yeah, absolutely. They have big smiles on their face. Yeah, we would love to do that for you. And right before they're done, they'll just say, you know, really quietly, life school points? And it makes me laugh because we're all kind of like that, huh? When we act, when we do something that helps someone else, Lord, life school points. Life school points? Can I have something in return for my actions? Can I have something in return for this good deed that I've done for someone else? We do the same thing with God. We put stipulations on what we'll do for him. God, I'll do this if you do this for me. Lord, I'll be faithful to church. I'll be faithful to your word if you heal my family member. Lord, I promise I'll serve you if you just do this with this family member and this situation in my life. Lord, if you take care of this financial need, I'll do this for you. I promise I will. That's what wants. We want something in return. We shouldn't serve God out of the heart of, what can I get back from him? I want to serve God because I want the blessing of God. Yeah, I mean, we all want the blessing of God. But it shouldn't be just, Lord, I'm going to do something so you'll bless me. No, Lord, I want to do this because I love you. Because of what you've done for me. Not only a heart of sincerity, but also a heart of humility. Verse 14 says that he humbled himself. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Humility is key to our Christian life. Constantly throughout Scripture, God calls us to have humility. Over and over and over and over and over again in the Bible. Philippians 2, verse number 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in and lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. James 4:6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Proverbs 22:4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor in life. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourself therefore unto the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Matthew 23:12, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Romans 12:3, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Colossians 3:12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. John 3:30, he must increase, but I must decrease. And I can go through the list of every single time God constantly tells us, hey, be humble, have some humility. Let me tell you something. You want to have favor with God? You want God to use you? You want to please God? You want to have your life to matter? Stay humble. Our human nature tries to tell us that we need praise, and we need to please men, and we need to look good in front of other people. That's what our human nature tells us. But God says, hey, have some humility about yourself. It's me that works for you. It's me that blesses you. It's me that takes care of you. It's me that guides you. Have some humility. Tonight, I just want to challenge you with these simple truths. Hey, be authentic. Be real. Don't try to be someone you're not. Don't try to compare yourself to everyone else. Don't try to fake that spiritual Christian and have this fake spiritual Christian look about yourself. This person that does everything right but has no genuine relationship with God. And this is something that we all struggle with at times, and we all battle with. Because we all love to be appreciated. We all love a little praise every once in a while. Am I right or am I wrong? Like, we all like that. Like, it puts a smile on my face when someone compliments something that I do. It puts a smile on my face when my wife says I did something good, which is not very often. But when she compliments me, it feels nice, not because she's not nice, when she'll leave or she'll go on a little vacation or something like that to visit her parents, or she'll go to a teacher's conference once a year, I think her and Christina are going to conference, and when she leaves, you know, the house is a mess the entire time she's gone, and I'm just seeing pizza boxes everywhere and whatever. And then like an hour before she has to go pick her up, I'm like, you know, going crazy, like cleaning everything, you know, like mopping the house and, you know, cleaning all the dishes and stuff like that, and throwing all the clothes under the bed and stuff. And I'm just trying to make everything look presentable. But one time specifically, she was out, and I said, you know what, I'm going to make this so nice. I'm going to wipe down all the cabinets. I'm going to clean the floors. I'm going to clean out the fridge, take everything out, wipe everything down in the fridge and freezer out. And I was like super excited. I was super pumped about it. And I go and pick her up from the airport, and I'm just kind of like giggling, because I'm like, she's going to walk home and be so excited. She gets home, she throws her stuff down in the living room, and she just goes and lays on the bed. And I'm like, okay, she didn't notice, you know. Like, she didn't see all the work that I put into making sure the house was clean. So I dropped some subtle hints. Did you notice anything when you came home? Did you see anything? Nope. I cleaned everything for you as you came home. Well, that didn't end up. That wasn't a very good argument for me. I mean, I lost that battle, let's just say. Because she says, well, that's your job anyways. You should be doing that every week with me. But I did all those things for what? To seek approval. Because we all lack approval. We all lack a little praise every once in a while. But I want to challenge us tonight. Don't act and do to please others. Seek approval from other people. Be genuine. Be real. Be authentic. I want to be used of God. I want to make sure that I have a heart of sincerity and a heart of humility. I want to be authentic. And I want to challenge you this evening to have that same desire. To be authentic. To be genuine. To be real. Not be like the Pharisee. But to look at this publican and say, man, I want to have that heart of humility. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this truth of your word. God, I thank you for genuine, to be real, to be authentic. Lord, you've called us to do right. Lord, you've called us to serve and to do all of these things that I talked about tonight. And Lord, I hope everyone understands that I'm not saying there's anything wrong with doing these things. But it's the heart behind it. And so God, I pray that you would help us to have the right heart. I pray that you would help us to have a heart of sincerity, a heart of humility. Lord, that when we act, we will act to ultimately please you. Not to please men, but out of a heart of Lord and love.
Thanks for listening to Messages from Liberty. Tune in next week for more helpful Bible teaching, or subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with our current series.